Yes, 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 yes. It's another episode of the Cast Ops podcast, and I have still got Gemma Ramsden with me from the One Minding. That's it. She's a bit of a tech nerd, so we thought we'd keep her down here for another episode to go through a couple of the things that we want to know about and might not necessarily understand it now. So we hope that after this conversation, we might know more about it. First of all, big up to our sponsors, My Connected Home and Sheikah Lounge. Sheikah Lounge Bournemouth, myconnectedhome.co.uk. One of the things I wanted to speak to you about was ChatGPT. I've been hearing about it a lot, especially in the last, say, 2 months. People keep banging on about it. Kareem has heard about it as well. But it seems that you've been using it. You swear by it. So I thought, you know what? Might as well get this free lesson off you without having to pay someone to tell you. Because I'm tight like that.
I hope you're not more confused after I've explained it, because I'm by no means an expert. I'm a bit of a nerd, I suppose, but I know a little bit about a few things, so I can give you as much as I know. So ChatGPT is...
Just give us the layman's version of what you think ChatGPT is. What does the GPT stand for anyway? Are you actually trying to find that out?
Something we'll be generating, we'll be in there... Something. I've no idea. We'll have to look.
Should we chat? Ask them?
Yeah. What does GPT stand for?
Okay.
So, AI is slowly going to take over the world.
Should we be scared?
Yes, very.
Why?
No, you shouldn't. It's great because the things that take humans a long time, this does very quickly for you.
Okay.
So, for example, I've been... using it to write descriptions for SEO, for YouTube, for podcasts. You can do that as well. That will help you, because I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems to search everything that's available online.
Yeah.
So you can ask it to give you instructions to build apps. You can ask it to code things for you. It's basically like having a personal assistant, kind of.
Without paying for it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So at the moment, it's free. I do believe that they will start charging for... because it's not just one. There's a few different versions. ChatGPT is the most sort of well-known one at the moment. But yeah, you can put in anything and it will give you information. Like, the more specific you are, the better the instructions will be. It's quite woke, though. Like, the way that it will explain things, it seems to have a slight agenda, as in... It's not political, but it's... I don't think some of the answers that are coming out would have been coming out 10 years ago, if that makes sense.
I mean, I think, like, Parler and Telegram are more right-leaning. That's my opinion anyway. Because of the people who actually take up that or sign up to those apps. We know who they are. You said ChatGPT is a bit woke. So if we're going to say, do you think that it's more right-leaning or left-leaning or... just lean back.
Yeah.
Lean back.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think it is? Is it, when you say it's woke, why do you say it's woke? Woke in what aspect of it?
God, we'd be careful what we say, don't we? No, we don't actually.
No, we don't.
No. So I guess the modern world has moved into a place of not being that traditional anymore.
As in, I agree with you.
People can choose to be whatever they want, as in their gender, which I don't want to get into a debate with listeners, not you, because I think we're maybe on a...
Well, that's the whole thing. It's having a conversation is to have... it's a spark debate. Not everybody we think will be on the same page, innit? So, end of the day, what we put out here is you can either agree with it or don't. Just let us know in the comments. youtube.com/@thecastospod/blog.
I mean, like, it's really important to stand up for what you believe in. So I think it is important to have conversations like this. People get very offended these days, and I think people that get offended are quite easy to control, so it can be quite dangerous. It's all, I think people should be able to do whatever they want, but when it comes to, like, I wouldn't feel comfortable with a man in a dress coming into the ladies' toilets, you know? And I know that sounds probably, there has to be some kind of middle ground here.
I agree with you. I won't feel comfortable. I won't feel comfortable with a girl, right? With a girl in trans coat of mass. No, that's not a good comparison to make. I mean, from a lady's point of view, I can see that point. Because at the end of the day, it's a lady's toilet is a safe space. It's a safe space for you females to do your bits. And if you have a man who... I don't know how we go into this, but I think I'm hoping it's kind of linked to the whole wokeness of ChatGPT. So what I was saying now. On the other hand, if you self-identify as a woman, although you still have two testicles, maybe one, you still have dangly bits, and you go to a nightclub and you've dressed as a woman, but you're a dude still, that's fine. You can walk through the doors. Security guys will let you in, and ladies. Gender neutral and all that. But I think if you then go into a ladies' toilet in a club that's full of ladies and you come in here with a deep manly voice, just because you got a dress on and big ass calves showing out and you struggle with your heels. Nah. So I do see where I see your point from that. I think it should still be, maybe clubs are still having, maybe it's just having, I don't know, self-identifying toilets. I don't know. I mean, you can have men's toilet, you can have ladies' toilet, and you can have, if you self-identify as this, that's your toilet. I mean...
That would be the only way that it would probably logically work now.
I think it's just common sense, and people just kind of lose, like you said about people who get easily triggered, is because they can easily get me control. I mean, a few days ago, the chairman of the World Athletics Council, was it commission? But the worldwide governing body, I think he's a Lord now, Lord Coe, Sepp Coe, former Olympic multi gold medalist. He, they've finally, I think from April the 1st, by the time this comes out, which would have been law, there's been this thing.
April the 1st, yeah?
Of 20, yeah, from his thing.
This isn't a joke.
From, oh, I see where she's coming from with that, yeah. So, yeah, from April the 1st, if you were transgender athletes will not be allowed to compete. I'm going to try and clarify that before people start. Right. But the problem has been you have athletes who were typically male, born male. They've been male for the most part of their life before they had the, whatever they have, the turnaround, the snip or whatever. And they choose in sport, say, I'll give you a typical example, athletics. Say when they were men, they were actually shite as a male athlete. And they decide to, obviously, I think there's a term for it, they transform, obviously become a woman, to go through the whole bit, blah, blah, blah. And obviously still, athletics still they choose in sport. And now, but now they want to obviously still run, still do track, but as a female now, and competing against the females. There has been cases in the past, in the last few years, where that has happened. I think it's also happened in Australia recently, where I can't remember the person's name, who was a dude, and he was when he was a dude running as a dude, he was shit, and he's done his up. He's now a woman. And running in women's races and winning the whole thing and breaking records and shit. And the female athletes are the ones that have come up in arms. So this is not fair. It's not a fair fight because you've still got that manly strength. Can we still say manly without being cancelled? And you've now come in and sports, I mean, it's sportsmanship. Well, you want to be neutral because it's sportswomanship. Sportsmen, to be fair. So the women are up in arms saying that's not, it's not a fair fight, it's not a fair race, it's not a fair competition now because you've got this dude who's still got dude strength. Yeah, he's a woman now, he's got his bits and everything done, but this is something we've been doing all our life, and it's not a fair fight. And to me, that is, and for them to now bring this in and say that if you were a dude till puberty, and then you had the up after puberty, you shouldn't be allowed to compete in women's races anymore. That's good. But my thing is, like, I thought that was common sense. How has it taken this long to get to this part? Because I've got nothing against them, but I think they should have a specific race so that it's more of an even feel for them. So the woke culture, it's kind of, I'm not anti-woke. I'm liberal as you get, but I think some people abuse it. Like in anything in life, you give a human being an inch, they go a mile for their own narrative and for their own end. So it's like something that we would think it's common sense. It's not. Why should someone who's had, it's like me now. I've been a dude all my life. I'm not the best in boxing. I did do a bit of boxing, but then I decided to obviously trans to a woman, which is fine. It's my right to do so. Then end up start fighting women who've been, it's not a fair fight, in my opinion, because that strength is still going to be there. So sometimes the woke culture, it gets despised on because it doesn't use common sense all the time. Now, with ChatGPT, going back to linking that wokeness, you reckon if I've got it open here, if I typed in fat person, it's not going to come up as?
You could put in, what's the definition of a woman and see what comes out. Just out of interest, I don't actually know.
Okay.
Well, I know what the definition of a woman is, the old school way. But yeah, I don't want to go too like sort of dark, but I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and there's always a reason behind why these things sort of happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always to inbuild fear or to create money,
yeah,
or wash money or whatever it is.
Okay.
So these children that are deciding to change their gender, I think I read something yesterday to say that the medication, I think this is an American study, but the profit margin on the medication is just ridiculous. And these children are going to have these hormones for the rest of their lives, okay?
Well, in terms of transitioning.
If I'm 13 years old, mm-hmm, and I'm a girl, and I decide, actually, I don't want to be Gemma anymore, I want to be Jimmy, I go to the doctors. They plan to do whatever they're going to do with my bits, but I will be given hormones or whatever it's called to change my hormones. Mm-hmm. I have to take them forever and ever and ever. So I am now a cash cow for Big Pharma.
Yeah, that's always been
my brother, my mother, my dad, my sister. They might not cope too well with me transitioning, so they might need medical help too. They might have to start taking antidepressants or mood stabilizers or whatever. I think obviously people can do whatever they want, but there has been a huge rise in this. All this, you know, the drag queens around children, and so much of it does not sit right with me. And I think some people are just accepting this because that's what the norm is. That's what we're supposed to do, you know. And I don't agree with it at all. And I think if you don't stand up for what you believe in, you don't stand for anything. And it only takes a few people.
Mm-hmm.
But we know, we don't know. Inherently, to me, this is wrong. You know, when, again, mainly in America, but there's been a few stories recently where a guy has been arrested for assaulting women during their trial. They've decided that they are a woman. So then they get put into a women's prison. This has happened quite a few times recently.
Yeah.
And it's...
It's happened in England recently as well, isn't it? Did somebody just get locked up for... an offence he did when he was a dude. Yes, yeah, actually very recent, when he was a dude, and now he's trans, and he got locked up, and he wanted to get locked up in a female prison. This is in the UK. It's like a month or so ago. So, right. So, I'm trying to go back, because we're chatting now about chat. Gee, I don't know how we got into this whole thing. So, it's literally, let's go back into it, because it's just gone off on one. Well, I've typed it into ChatGPT, it has to have a better name. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. Definition of defining a woman is a complex task, as the concept of womanhood encompasses a wide range of factors, including biological, social, cultural, and personal experiences. Generally speaking, a woman is an adult human who identifies as female and is typically characterized by certain biological and physiological features, such as the ability to give birth and produce milk for offspring. That doesn't sound woke to me from ChatGPT.
No, not particularly.
So you're not giving them
I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt, am I?
ChatGPT, I do apologize on behalf of Gemma Ramsden.
Sorry.
It's her, not me. So you mentioned about SEO stuff with chat. Let's just call it chat because it's just easy that way. Tell me more about, because it says it helps with SEO. So use a personal experience. So you've used this for a while. How does that help? Because I need to know.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never used it. This is my first time opening it. So,
For example, we did an interview with Dr. Bill Pettit 2 weeks ago, who is a three principles teacher. Mm-hmm. And I asked it to write the best SEO description possible for that interview. So it's got the buzzword, it's got everything that would show up high on Google that I wouldn't be able to write without
that
knowledge.
And you put that into, when you upload it onto YouTube, you put that onto that part of it.
Yeah, I'll just put it in the description. So it will help me with subjects for the podcast. I can look at like what's trending for mental health. Mm-hmm. Instead of looking through a load of Google pages, it brings everything there. So it's like quite precise instructions. Mm-hmm. Like for example, with my editing, the majority of the editing is me removing the breathings from the podcast. And oh my God. So I didn't realize up until recently, I thought I kind of had it figured out. And I was compressing it before using the noise gate. So I was actually making the breathing very a lot louder and then having to go through it. So I just said, what is the specific order that a podcast should be edited from start to finish? And it just gives me all the instructions. That would have taken me a long time to figure out.
Or go through Google and search it all out.
People have got different opinions, so they're going to say their way. Mm-hmm. So I would like to say that it's a kind of a non-opinionated information system, but there has been a few things that have come up and they have felt quite woke. So that's maybe why I said that to begin with.
Okay.
But yeah, for information things, you can ask some of them to create images for you now.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot to... You're going to...
Like Canva.
When I started looking at it, there's just like, oh my goodness. I spent quite a good few hours that weekend.
Okay.
Because if you... There are many experts that are making threads on Twitter right now, and I'll save some and I'll send them to you, because these people that have spent hours and hours utilizing it is just changing everything. Like, I would say I'm like a real beginner, but I know the power of it. But we also have to be careful not to lose our own creativity. Some of the things that's created for me is better than I could ever bloody write.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm useless now. But it's not like that, because it can't give you that feeling. It's a computer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is definitely the way the world is heading. So someone who's a researcher and an analyzer, for example, mm-hmm. they don't have a job anymore.
So if Karima's got, for BHC, and she's got a YouTube channel, so he shoots loads of music videos as well, and corporate stuff, and club stuff, and event stuff. So if, say, you wanted to, you shot a music video, you want to put on your YouTube page, can he just go on the ChatGPT thing, and it's the schematics of the video, what it was about, blah, 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 he puts it in there, and it just gives him like a guide of what he needs to copy and paste onto that thing.
Yeah.
That's nuts, isn't
it? I mean, I even wrote, could you write an introduction, like with the scenes and everything for me and Moles as an intro video? And it put, like, scene one, people talking about this, then move to scene two, this kind of music. It does everything, as if it's like writing, doing it for you. And obviously you can change it, you can edit it, you can make it more specific.
Okay. So if I say that ChatGPT is Google-like, but with Google, we have loads of searches. You have to then go through different ones. It's more precise and just gives you boom.
Yep.
Take it or leave it kind of thing.
Yep.
That'll save time, isn't it? Jesus Christ.
Well, we'll have a proper look into it after the show. But yeah, you'll either love it or hate it. But it's good for some things. I just think we've got to be really careful not to let it do everything for us.
Well, give me an example of what I'm going to type it now. So if we go for something, I don't know, something that's been in the news lately or something that you've used as generic. What's been in the news lately? I could put Rishi Sunak. Does that help?
You could.
The Prime Minister of England? No, that's very vague, isn't it?
You could ask, because I think we spoke about CBDCs, which is the central banking digital currency, which it looks like the government are trying to bring in. So if you put in, what's a CBDC? It's going to explain it a lot more clearer than I can. And you could then, you know, ask me a question about it. But I do find Yeah, I always go around the houses when I explain things. So this has been really helpful for me. Really helpful.
And a big thank you to our sponsor, Chica Lounge, which is a lovely cocktail bar in Westcliff, Bournemouth, for those who like to have a good time and be home early by 1 a.m. With free parking, which is very rare for Bournemouth, they have something to suit your entertainment taste all week. From day parties to Latino nights to Afro beats and even quiz nights, this lovely venue is also available for private hire, as it's perfect for birthdays, networking meetings, social meetups, fitness classes and comedy shows. Check in at their website, chicalounge.co.uk, and their socials on Facebook and Instagram at Chica Lounge. And keeping us warm this winter, we have My Connected Home, who provide comprehensive domestic cover and finance for your boiler. We have to say thank you, as they are one of our dedicated sponsors supporting the show. And My Connected Home actually provides brand new efficient boilers with affordable monthly finance. And if you can't afford to buy one right now, that's okay, because subject to approval and credit checks, they'll provide one for you. Just get in touch at myconnectedhomeuk.com or call 0345 057 3057.
A CBDC, central bank digital currency, is a digital form of flat currency that is issued and backed by a central bank. Unlike traditional physical currency, CBDCs exist only in digital form and are typically created using blockchain technology. CBDCs are similar to cryptocurrencies in that they are digital and decentralized, but they differ in that they are issued and controlled by a central authority, typically a central bank. Blah, 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 blah. Several countries, including China, Sweden, and the Bahamas, have already launched or are testing CBDCs, while others, such as the United States and the European Union, are currently exploring the feasibility of launching their own CBDCs. However, there are also concerns around privacy, financial stability, and the potential impact on the existing financial system that must be considered when evaluating the potential benefits and drawbacks of CBDCs. Whew, that's a little take in. So basically, from that, that means these are a regulatory form of crypto that the government want to use to regulate, because it's not regulated at the moment, isn't it?
Well, money's meant to be backed by gold, yeah. But it's not. So the banking system is completely corrupt. Quantitative easing, double spending. The money's not worth the paper it's printed on now. Inflation is through the roof.
Tell me about it. I'm paying double what I paid for my mortgage a year ago. Not happy.
No.
Yeah. Price go up, people. Anything I do for you. All right, go on.
So it's like we are, the crash is impending. You know, some banks are already starting to drop in America. I've been shouting
I think two or three local banks in America have gone in the last 2 weeks, I think. Yeah, and there's more coming.
And so it's like this. I've been talking about this maybe since 2018, since I found out about Bitcoin. I always knew there was a problem with the world and it was money. And then I started finding out about money and where it doesn't come from, that it's just printed out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And that it's just used to control. So when I found out about Bitcoin, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah, wait. You're getting too far ahead for me now. Because we're going to get to that. All right?
Yeah.
So we're now transitioning from ChatGPT now to Bitcoin and crypto and blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yeah.
Which we are going to do. But you kind of went, yeah. So it's like, I've always wanted to have somebody down to give someone who's a believer, which I think you are, what you said to me about Bitcoin and blockchain and crypto, to come up and say, I mean, we were meant to have two guests from last season. They kind of ducked out. And I think I kind of know why, because it was, from what I could see, it was crashing. If something is crashing, you can come and say, oh, by the way, it's killing it right now. No, dude. So maybe that's why they didn't show up. So they never did. But I've got you now. You are a believer in Bitcoin.
100%.
You are a believer in crypto.
Yep.
Okay. Let's start from now and go backwards. So what's going on now? Because from what I've not really looked into it. Before I read, it's not been looking good. Okay. So let's start from now. That's, tell me I'm lying or I'm not, or it's a myth. It's not been looking good for that, because I can also go from a personal side, because I used to have loads of friends come to me, everyone, get into crypto, blah, blah, blah. It's the thing. It's tumbleweeds now. Nobody's saying nothing. All my crypto friends have just been quiet. What's going on now?
I'm not bothered anymore. That's what it is. What
is going on? I mean, Karim says, mate, he's not even looking at it. He doesn't want to even hear about it. He's just forgotten about it. He's like, you're looking at it in 10 years' time. So what is happening now? What's going on? And once you answer that, I want you to then tell me why and when you got into it. So what's happening now? This is me as a guy who doesn't really know a lot about it, but see things and read things and... Hey, it's a disaster. This is what I'm reading. What's going on now?
Okay. So, again, I'm not an expert, but I can tell you the very limited knowledge I do know. But
yeah, give me from a professional.
I do know some experts that might come on the show, but they're Americans, so they'd have to be...
Can I pay them in Bitcoin?
You don't pay them. So, right. So, the first thing that I'll pick up on is you said, you know, it's not doing well. I'm assuming what you're doing is you are looking at the monetary value of what one Bitcoin is worth right now.
I don't even have a clue what that is. I don't know what the monetary value. What I'm trying to explain is, compared to a year, two, 3 years ago, I have mates who literally try to get me to go on Bitcoin and do this and do that and that. I don't see them no more. And
they've all had betting accidents.
They're all telling me that, yeah, get on it now. This is what I did. Look how much it's worth now. This is going back 6 years ago. Like every year until the last year. Now, so it was this whole, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true. Mm-hmm. So, but it was literally relentless for 5-6 years straight. And this is from a personal point of view, but I don't see those guys no more. Then when you're on your phone or something comes up in the news about a crash or buy the dip and all that bullshit, it's like, from a guy who's got limited knowledge of it, who's never actually had the time to really dig into it, it seems like it's not at the high it was before. I know everything that goes up must come down, vice versa, blah, blah, blah. But it looks to me that, like, it's not been great. Is that true or not?
No. No.
Is it still great?
Yes.
How is that still great?
Bitcoin will always be great. So the reason that Bitcoin was created was so that if I want to send you some money mm-hmm. or Bitcoin, we don't need a middleman, we don't need a bank, we don't need an intermediary. It's just between us, okay? Why do we need that middleman that, you know, does everything, the bank?
It guarantees, and this has been playing devil's advocate, guarantees that whatever transaction we have is solid.
So that's why, so it's crypto is short for cryptography, and cryptography is the mathematics behind that transaction. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and explain this in the most simple way. You could ask ChatGPT.
So, that's doing your job now.
The first person that ever sent a Bitcoin transaction, say it was me, and I sent the first Bitcoin transaction to you, mm-hmm. that has to, there's an equation that has to be worked out for that money to go here. So there's 21 million Bitcoin in total. So it's a finite amount of Bitcoin, which means if there...
It's not really finite, it's just 21 million.
Yeah, because you can't create any more.
Are you not allowed to?
It's impossible. It's written in the code.
Okay.
So, and that's the beauty of it compared to the traditional banking system, that they can double spend your money. So if everyone went to the bank today in England and said, we need our money out,
the bank crashes.
Well, 8 or 9% they'll have cash. Mm-hmm. The rest of it doesn't exist. It's numbers on a screen. Mm-hmm. So they work on quantitative easing as well. So if I put in 100,000, mm-hmm. they can then lend out 1 million. Don't quote me on that, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure that's how the numbers work.
Yeah.
So the beauty of Bitcoin is that there is only a certain amount. So the price, the value of it depends on who owns it. I think 5% of the world population have cryptocurrency right now. So we're still at the very, very beginning. Although it's been around for 13, 14 years.
Is it?
Yeah. We're at the very, very beginning. The big banks, because it can never be regulated. It can't be regulated.
Is that a good thing?
It is for us, because it means we don't need those guys.
Who's us? As in regular people?
No, well, people who don't believe in the current, who don't want to have anything to do with the current system anymore.
Of the banking system, okay?
So we have a whole new system that we don't need to fuck around with that shit anymore, okay? So I know a lot of people that will only use cryptocurrency. You've got cards that you spend it in Tesco's, but it's coming off of your cryptocurrency balance. So the beauty of Bitcoin is that we don't need them anymore. So... go back. What was your initial question?
Okay, the initial question is, what is happening now? Because from my take of what I can see is apparently it's not as great as it used to be. Like I say to you, I'll give you an example with, from a personal point of view. I'm not having mates here banging about crypto to me like they used to. I don't even hear them anymore. What is going on now?
Okay, well, first of all, always check on anybody that you know that's involved with cryptocurrency because they're a little bit crazy.
Okay, I mean, we speak about other things. We just don't speak about crypto anymore. Yeah, no. I'm trying to find out why are we not speaking about crypto anymore? What is going on?
I think...
Well, I've seen loads of memes.
Yeah.
There's like a video I saw of me with this guy. He's like a before and after. He's got his BMW and everything. Hey, crypto, crypto. And then it's an after now. Mine's on the push bike.
So, a carbon box, yeah.
What is going on?
I mean, I think we're sat around $28,000 at the moment. But any Bitcoiner, anybody who really sees the true potential of what this is creating, mm-hmm. doesn't care about the price because they know that the pound, the dollar, it's all going to zero anyway.
Yeah, but you have to care about the price if you put, like, say you put, like, 80% of the money you've had into crypto.
But you're always going to own. So one Bitcoin's always going to be one Bitcoin. The monetary value that we denominate it in for pounds or mm-hmm. or dollars, we don't actually care about that anymore because we know it's not real. Okay. All I care about is owning Bitcoin. I don't care what the price is in the value because I'm not taking it out.
But as a human, you have to care. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. So say, for example, I had in my whole entire life, my entire savings, I have got £100.
Yeah.
And I've sunk, because you don't get this Bitcoin for free, do you?
No, you have to pay for it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So I sink in £80 of the 100 quid I've got into Bitcoin and it's not looking great. I have to care about it because that's 80% of the entire money I have.
So if you're buying Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency to make money, you've not missed the point.
No, I'm buying it to survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that Bitcoin is always going to be there, no matter what the value of it in regard to traditional finances. Mm-hmm. So,
but I was hoping to flip that Bitcoin. So as I'm saying, it's like, okay,
so you want to make money out of Bitcoin.
Okay, this is what humans do. Humans are here to make money. That's what we do. We're built like that. So. I've got £100. That's all I've got.
I would say do not invest in Bitcoin.
Wait, let me finish.
You don't have enough.
And I'll give you these people come and say, hey, Bitcoin is crypto, this, blah, 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 blah. Look what, because that's what they do. So keeping up with the Joneses, isn't it? It's like, look what I've done. Look what I've made. You need to get on this, right? It's like, I need to get on this if I miss the boat. So I've got £100. That's all I've got in my entire life. And I'm, because of what matey has said to me, I'm not going to sink £80 of that. I don't know what a Bitcoin, let's say for argument's sake, one Bitcoin is a pound. And I've bought 80 Bitcoins. I have £80 I've got. I'm going to got £20 now. That's it. And I'm hoping that it keeps rising at some point, maybe in a month or 2 or 3 months' time, it's now £3 a Bitcoin, which gives me 3 times what I've put in. That's the hope people do. That's what people do naturally. So if that's not happening then, I'm kind of screwed because I've just literally sunk in all my savings into that. But you said I should still keep it. But how does that then work for that individual who went into that because he got convinced by certain mates to do that? It's because then it kind of affects them mentally. They start worrying and panicking and blah, blah, blah. So is Bitcoin for people who've got disposable income to afford to have the crash, if it did happen, and say, you know what, like, for example, you say, you know what, I'm not going to look at yours. You're not going to look at yours for another 10 years or so. Or is it for people who... It's like saying gambling. Gambling is not illegal. Gambling becomes a problem if you're addicted to it and you're now spending all your savings on it. And that's why they say you have to basically gamble responsibly. So for me, my take on gambling is if you've got disposable income to gamble, because it's not guaranteed, don't go put, again, if £100, that's all I've got, go put 80 on black and then... It's a problem. So, but if you've got other cash lying about, you can afford to do that. So, is that what Bitcoin is? Do you advise people to have either to only invest in it as a long term thing, only if they have disposable income to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would never advise anyone anything with their finances, but only with things like that, put in what you can afford to lose. Mm-hmm. It's about self-custody as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to hold your own keys so that a lot of people leave their Bitcoin on an exchange. Exchanges get hacked, then they lose it all, mm-hmm. right? So you have to really learn, and it's about taking personal responsibility for your own money. So you don't rely on the bank. And if, guess what, if you lose your private key, you've lost your Bitcoin. That is the risk of it. And not a lot of many people are ready or want to do that. Of course, people want to rely on the system. Of course, they want to feel secure. That's what we've been told forever. I don't believe we're going to get pensions. I don't believe any of this is going to happen, the things that we were told at school. So for me, it's about creating a world in a system that doesn't rely on anybody. So it's not about making money. It was never about making money for me. A lot of people get into crypto for that and they don't know what they're doing. The markets are really volatile because they're not regulated. One morning, someone will think, right, okay, I'm finally going to do it and put millions and millions and millions into Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. The price will go up. And we've got a lot of whales in crypto that work together. So me, you and you, we are big holders and we decide, right, in the morning, we're going to short, we're going to sell a load of Bitcoin and a load of the small, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry's, they will start to sell because I think, shit, the price is dropping. And then all we will do is we'll buy it back up. And that happens a lot with the movement of the prices.
Okay, okay.
So quite a few of my friends are traders and they, it's really, really hard because, well, obviously you can see the patterns and basically what trading is. Mm-hmm. But so many people do their bollocks. So many people lose everything because they don't know what they're doing and they get greedy.
Okay, so, Karim, what was the reason you got your Bitcoin? What was the main reason you got it in the first place?
Crypto in general.
Yeah.
It's just bandwagon, pretty much.
To jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah. Was it you saw it as an investment or you just thought, you know what, fuck the regular money we've got going at the moment and I want to basically have something that's non-regulated. What was the main reason? I bet it was the former, not the letter, was it?
I had a bit of disposable income. It's let's just see what happens. Mm. And then I got excited because it went up. I thought I'd make some money out of it. Yeah. And it dropped and I was like...
See, that's what I'm trying to say. Most people go into it because it's like, keeping up with the Joneses, what people say, that makes us blah, blah, blah.
Oh, don't you own any Bitcoin?
That's yeah. So you are saying it shouldn't be looked at that way. It should be looked at as something that you see is the future because it's non-regulated. I think that is the beauty of it for you. It's non-regulated by the forces that be.
The evil,
whatever they are, don't hurt me now. Yeah. All right. So, okay. So is it crashing now or is it just leveled out?
I think we're sat around $28,000. We've gone up over the last week or two, but there's a lot going on.
Is that $28,000 a coin?
Per Bitcoin, yeah.
Okay. So how many coins have you got?
That's none. If I told you that, I'd have to kill you. My security guard's outside.
Yeah. Okay, so what was the lowest? What was the lowest rate this year for it? Do you remember?
Oh God!
Is it rising now? Excuse me, it's 20.
We're on the way up, but I think we'll do another crash. I think there's going to be some sort of black swan event, and we could drop quite a lot. But I have a feeling that I'm not going to price predict, but I think we'll hit at least $100,000 this year. Our all time highs.
I'm just checking this Bitcoin wallet. So okay, and what was the peak?
69,000.
When was that?
That was.
Was that you?
Good
yeah, that was in. Must be not maybe not last year, the year before.
I'm oh yeah, awful they, oh, at they time, were bugging like, me. I'm not going to mention names. Adam. Yeah,
I actually I quit my job in January 2018 after getting into Bitcoin 6 months previous. We hit 20,000 coming up to Christmas.
You quit your job for Bitcoin?
I knew that. As soon as I found out, I was like, I have to tell the world about this. I started a YouTube channel. I started, well, that's what I've got maybe 70,000 followers on Twitter just because I...
Is that... Was it?
Oh, that's
what I showing up on the Twitter team.
I used to be Gem Crypto. Now I'm Gem Crypto.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Crypto Gem.
No, I changed because as soon as they started, well, we've got a big community on Twitter, Crypto Twitter. Yeah. It was really, really fun and some amazing people.
I'm going to ask you again, is it like black Twitter?
I've never been. I'll have a look at my
Do you know what black Twitter is?
It's just Twitter for black people?
No, it's the same Twitter, it's just more black stuff.
Okay.
It's the same, I'm guessing Crypto Twitter is the same thing.
It's like an
crypto stuff.
It's echo chamber, so we only talk to each other kind of thing.
About crypto.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
So you gave up a well-paid job, because obviously you used to be...
My best paid job ever.
You were, was it a sales management thingy, sales director kind of thing?
Yeah.
You gave that up for crypto.
I did.
Wow.
Did and then
you're the first person I know that have to give up something for crypto because normally it's like a
my house,
an add-on,
my eyes, my money, everything.
So you're such a believer in crypto, you give up your well-paid job for crypto. Mm-hmm. And how long ago was that? 2018?
At the beginning of 2018. So,
oh, damn.
Long time ago.
And, and
3 weeks later, it crashed from 20,000 to 7. Yeah, tell me about it.
20,000 to 7 pounds?
So, no, 7,000.
Oh, God. That's a damn.
So all my friends from work thought that was hilarious.
Uh-oh.
It's like, oh, well done. Good choice, Gem.
Oh, damn.
But no, I...
But you stuck with it?
100%, yeah.
Why? Is it because you believed in it or you just had no other choice?
Well, I could have gone and got another job.
But you're just trying to be stubborn and say, I'm going to show you people. You're all laughing at me.
Yeah, that cardboard box outside. Cutting my nose. My residence, yeah.
Cutting your nose to spite your face. Okay, so... It crashed from 20... You said from what to what? From what to 7,000?
It must have been like 19,000 to 7,000.
And without going to personals, did you... Before it crashed, did you sink in a lot into it? Because obviously you left the job. It was like, this is the be-all and end-all. How were you feeling at that time?
It was my first big crash. And I was told that it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I knew that it would happen. It come, you know, the markets work in cycles. Mm-hmm. 30% drops are very, very normal.
Okay.
And I knew that I hadn't put in more than I could afford to lose. I knew that it wasn't going to go to zero. And I knew that I just had to have some balls and just keep going with my initial belief.
And it started rising again from 7,000, started getting up again, mm-hmm. getting up again. And
enough. Yeah, really good for your mental health, by the way, guys.
So I'm trying to say, that's not good, isn't it? It's like, ugh.
But that's where you've got to take your emotions out of it.
So Bitcoin's more like a roller coaster. It's gonna like, and it's gonna be expected drops. You just have to stick with it and buy the dip. That's the big buzz thing. I mean, buy the dip. Look. Oh, buy the dip is basically even crashes. Oh, yeah. Even I know that. Even crashes like nah, goodbye. It's like stock exchange, you know, the stock market. Okay, so you've not had any need to go back to work. So, again...
I've done, like, I do, like, bits and bobs, freelance stuff.
Yeah.
And, but I think the thought of ever being employed full-time again, I couldn't...
So you're basically saying crypto, Bitcoin... Okay, what's the difference between crypto? Is it the same thing?
So cryptography is, like, what the equations, the mathematics behind how... You would move things.
So
crypto is a short word for, I suppose,
cryptocurrency. So what's the difference between cryptocurrency and Bitcoin? How linked is? Give me a layman's term. So cryptocurrency is related to Bitcoin.
Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency.
So it's like saying a penny is a UK currency.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Fine. And
there are thousands of other cryptos. Loads of scams. There are probably, I haven't checked, for years, but maybe 12,000.
And blockchain, where does the blockchain bit come into it?
So blockchain is what the how the currency is.
The Bitcoin currency, yeah.
Yeah, so I send you some Bitcoin now. Mm-hmm. I create a block. The chain goes to you. That's kind of a visual way of explaining it. So everything is connected. So it's on a public ledger.
Mm-hmm.
So the transaction that I will send to you mm-hmm. will be there forever.
Okay. And
it doesn't have to be connected to your identity.
Yeah. Anymore. And we know it's not currently regulated by any forms of government, which they don't like. So the CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, is that got something to do with cryptocurrency, or is something they're trying to put on to compete with cryptocurrency?
Yeah, so I think...
I mean the government.
Yeah, same thing. Government. Yeah, this is their version of Bitcoin,
yeah.
Really. And they have to create their own one because they can't control Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They need to be able to control people. So people realize the like importance of CBDCs and how much it's going to affect you. So
okay.
You will never have any cash, and probably maybe 2 years' time, you won't have any cash anymore. Anytime you want to send any money or pay any bills, it has to go through the CBDC. So say they're going to call it Britcoin, for example, mm-hmm. yeah?
Yeah, I've heard about Britcoin. So that's part of the whole CBDC scheme that they're trying to put up, right? Okay.
So your only other option is going to be using a decentralized cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, like Monero, because otherwise... Everything you do will always be available to be seen on the mm-hmm. public ledger, which people will say, well, you know, why do I need privacy? I don't do anything wrong. And that's just the worst excuse ever for mm-hmm. feeling like your privacy should be taken away.
Yeah.
How do you tip a taxi driver? How do you pay the window cleaner? How are you going to tip someone a £10 to put in their pocket when they're working in a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is that they say, well, they have to get rid of cash because it's where all the crime happens and things.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Well,
I mean, I don't think cash is ever going to go away. I know there are people trying to actively make that happen. I have no opinion about a cashless society or a society with cash. I hardly have notes on me, but I am not anti-notes. It's more of a convenience thing. And I don't like notes kind of messing up my gums and shit and all that. And it all crumples. Everything needs to be straight.
How would you feel, though, if tomorrow they said, okay, no more cash, you've just got your card, that's it?
I wouldn't feel any different about it. It would not bother me.
You don't mind.
But I just don't think it's ever going to happen. It's for the simple fact that as human beings, we are born, we are young, and we get old. And older folks always prefer cash in their hands. So, and who are the biggest voting bloc?
The oldies.
The eldest. You can't piss them off. He can't just say, oh, we're going to go. No politician will come up and say, you know what? Vote for me. We go cashless. They're not going to get voted because the biggest voting bloc are old people. Old people still have I don't know what my checkbook is. Old people still running on checkbooks. Say, yeah, I'll send you a check. No, don't. I'm going to go to cash. No. All right, so it's never going to go away. I do understand people's concerns and fears about, a cashless society. But again, this is where common sense comes. It's like, it's never going to happen. Yeah, we're still going to have more transactions being done digitally. That's fine. But as long as old people are still around, and as long as they are the biggest voting bloc in any society, it's never going to go away because old people like the cash. They like that. It's them. Even, I'll be old in God knows how long. And well, maybe then, because it doesn't bother me now. But they are going to see, because there are people my age who are just anti a cashless society. So they'll be old as well when I'm old. And they still want to use cash and they'll be the biggest voting bloc. Again, it happens every generation. So I did not see it going. I do understand the part about not having cryptocurrency, Bitcoin being regulated. I think that's a cool thing. But at the same time, who's regulating them? Do we trust the people who are, do we call them miners? I mean, there's the whole environmental side of it about mining Bitcoin, which it takes a lot of.
It doesn't. So what I have to remember is that when, like, the news, they make up so much bullshit. So for the average person, what they read about Bitcoin is false. Mm-hmm. So Bitcoin is used to reduce, they've got cities running from Bitcoin miners that has reduced everything. I think what they're trying to do is make it look as bad as they can so that people have that opinion. Mm-hmm. And then when they introduce the clean CBDC, because although, you know, you can't see it happening, you don't want it to happen, it's already happening in some, I think Switzerland, it's already happened in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this isn't a long way away.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
If we don't stand up and say no, then with.
But my thing is, okay, so with the Bitcoin mining, are this mined by the same people who started Bitcoin?
No, so the person who created Bitcoin is Satoshi Nakamoto, who's a pseudonym, is an anonymous person. Mm-hmm. He wrote a white paper, and it's a peer-to-peer electronic form of transaction. Mm-hmm. So he has never come out and said, this is me.
Have you ever seen his face or her face?
No, I really hope that it's not the government. That'd be brilliant. That'd be fun.
Ooh, you've been had.
Yeah, surprised. The government agency hasn't come out and said, oh, by the way, we created Bitcoin.
Again, that's what I'm trying to say. How do we know that we trust the person who started it? Number one, we don't. No. We just trust in our, I don't know, our gut feeling kind of thing.
Yeah, I think.
But then as well is, okay, is there a regulatory body to make sure that, although it's not government run or is for oversight and stuff, again, is it still left in the hands of humans?
Because it does it on its own, because it's coded so that it just works without anybody.
Is it an AI? Are we going back to the AI chat again? Is Bitcoin AI?
No.
So somebody is controlling
it's
that.
It's like a massive supercomputer.
Yeah, but somebody's controlling that.
Nobody is controlling it.
It just doesn't.
It's like, you know, when you code something, it just works.
I just leave it to run.
That's what it does. Yeah. So the developers
run on numbers.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are developers that are constantly like working on the code.
So it can never be fudged.
Can't fuck
for someone's own selfish ends.
No. And that's the beauty of it. So one of the biggest like phrases that people say within cryptos: do not trust, verify. There doesn't need to be any trust anymore because we can verify And that's it. We just need it simple so that all of this bullshit goes away. You know? Hmm. So I promise you, we'll do some more like...
So you think Bitcoin is the future?
I know it in my heart. Bitcoin is the future. It's digital gold.
And not CBDC, which sounds like something I need to smoke. Same. Sorry, Mom.
We'll go get some CBDC.
Let's get some CBDC. Yeah. I got ache. Get some CBDC.
Yeah.
We need to look for a name for that. So you reckon crypto is the future, and... Well, I disagree with you, the whole money part. I don't think notes is ever going to go. That's my opinion.
I hope not. I really hope not. I don't want to be right about that.
So my great-grandma, she's not alive anymore. So she can still have a place. Because, again, old people like going to banks for that because you got nothing to do at home, innit? They don't know who to chat to. How much Antiques Roadshow can you watch? I mean, it's on repeat now anyway. That they love going to the bank, do the whole transaction thing so they can actually talk to someone and then... I'm the one standing behind them. Look, he said, "God, it's still giant. 30 minutes. Come on, it's
a day out for them.
Yeah, it's a regular Tuesday.
Yeah, you got me with that. You got me with that the other day, and I was like, it's Sunday, and it took me quite a while to figure out. I've never had that phrase. So regular Tuesday.
It's a regular Tuesday. So, folks who would think we're going to go into a cashless society, I don't think it's ever going to happen because old people are the biggest voting bloc, and they love their notes. And also, I now know more about Bitcoin and crypto. So thanks to those people who were supposed to come down in season one and chat about it and never did. Thank you.
I'll send you, so when we get off, I'll send you your Bitcoin? First ever bit of Bitcoin. Not a whole one, just a little bit.
What, half a Bitcoin? Is that ecstasy? Can you actually even have a Bitcoin?
Right, we'll double drop. You can have two.
No, can you actually half a Bitcoin? Can you half it?
Right, so they come in Satoshis. So there's
100
million.
Is that Japanese?
Satoshi Nakamoto is the creator of Bitcoin.
So they come in Satoshis.
So there's 100 million Satoshis in each Bitcoin. So I can send you a fraction of a Bitcoin. One Bitcoin is it has to be put into small denominations because...
I thought I got big... No, you threw me now.
Because there's only 21 million, it's got to be denominated into much smaller pieces.
Okay.
I'll show you like a cake. I'll show you.
So you can give me a bit of a Bitcoin. You can't give me a whole Bitcoin.
Yeah, so they're in Satoshis. So one Satoshi, 100 Satoshis.
Have you heard of Satoshis before, bro? Okay. Okay, cool. So you're gonna give me a percentage of a Satoshi, which makes up one Bitcoin.
I'm gonna give you some Satoshis, which makes up Bitcoin. So at the moment, there is no such thing as micro Satoshis, just Satoshis. But
so, and I need 100 million Satoshis to make one Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Why don't you just give me one Bitcoin?
Because I don't really like you that much.
What?
Wait, hold on, here's a house. You know, $28,000. So £23,000. Well, I don't know what the exchange rate
is. Okay, I'm looking forward to this Satoshi experiment. I'm going to literally see. I'm going to go my new thing, ChatGPT. How much is half a Satoshi worth? Then I know how much. Yeah, okay, thank you. I have known more now about ChatGPT. There are other AI platforms similar to that, so I'm not being plugged by it. What are the other ones called? Just for balance.
I use Notion a lot, and that's got...
The ocean?
Notion.
N-O-T-I-O-N. That's another AI thing?
It's like an organizer calendar that I use with Molly, and that's got an AI new feature as well. But like I said, I don't know too much about it, but it's definitely something.
I hear Google are doing their own as well. I actually read that somewhere. Google are doing a ChatGPT... People like jumping on the trend, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it will actually work with Google properly. Think of getting a Google Pixel.
Yeah?
Yeah. Little plug there. Google Pixel. Give me
they might even send you one after this show.
Please. Mm. Hey?
Hook him up.
Seven. All right. Thank you. Pro. Gemma, thank you for staying on for another episode to talk about the techie stuff. Bitcoin, ChatGPT, cryptocurrency, and what's Satoshi? And Mr. Satoshi, if you ever happen to have this, watch this, please show yourself so we can get some more confidence in it. And thank you very much for coming through. And hopefully we can see you soon, very soon. And again, YouTube, new YouTube channel for a podcast, youtube.com/@castoffspod. Twitter, the Castoffs Pod. Facebook, the business. We got BH Scenes on Insta, DJ Busy on Insta, OneMinding underscore
yep.
on Insta. She's big on Twitter, so it's Gem Says.
Yep, that's it.
GEMSAYS. Thank you very much.